Thanks a lot, and thank you for the introduction. Welcome to my talk. My name is Hannes Mühleisen. I come all the way from Amsterdam, and I'm actually a database guy under sort of cover here, hanging out with the nice statistics people. My talk is called Efficient Table, a Tabular Data Ingestion and Manipulation with MongoDB Lite, and it's a CRAN package, and I'm going to tell you all about it. Obviously, this is not only my work, because as you probably can imagine, building a SQL-compliant database is the work of huge teams, and I have to acknowledge, of course, my team members at CWI and the people that helped me with the R package, for example, Anthony D'Amico, who is also the author of the Susky package. Maybe you know that one. Actually, this has been a great run-up so far, because the previous speakers have done a lot of the motivation that I was going to do to explain things to you. So, Javier, thanks for the DBI intro. Excellent. Ben for, you know, proposing to use Medium, SQL databases for Medium data. And I'm going to talk about databases because I love databases. However, running a database is tricky. I don't know if you have ever tried this, but, you know, you have to install them. You have to somehow set them so to maybe automatically start whenever you want to do something or when your system starts, and that's tricky. Also, these things are mind-bogglingly complex. I don't know if you've ever looked into query optimizers, but just from the top of your head, who knows what these two parameters mean? Just show of hands. Okay, those are two parameters that are crucial for Postgres performance on large data sets. So if those are not set correctly, you know, you're not getting great performance from it. So you don't want to hire somebody like me to do that for you. Also, you have to do maintenance on it. The point is, most people don't bother with it if they're not forced. So what about SQLite? As we have heard, SQLite is this in-process SQL database. There's a great R package for it. And it's rock solid. It's, I think it's by now built in every browser that you can download. And people, as you've just heard, also use it for large data set analysis. And I say this is not a very good idea, because SQLite has a row-based storage model, which is great for this sort of transactional workloads that you would, for example, encounter in a bank or in some sort of website scenario, but not necessarily for analytics. Just going to show a quick conceptual picture, just a quick show of hands. Who knows what a column store is? I like an informed audience. So you have here you have a table. This is three columns, a couple of rows, and this is the conceptual relational model. It's just a bunch of tuples. And now the question is, how should we represent those on a disk, for example, or in memory? And what the classical SQL databases do is they just dump them after each other, and then you can build a bunch of indices to make it not hurt so much. The problem is that if you are interested in analytics, you cannot build indices on all the columns, which means that at some point you have to default to full table scans, which basically means that your average case of reading data is the worst case. So we don't want that. And column stores have the same interface. They showed you the same tabular interface. On top, there's SQL and everything, but they just store everything in columns, much like R does, actually. So R got something right, I think, by accident. So this is great for analytics, because we can just look at the columns that we're interested in for a particular query, ignore all the rest. We get great effects from cache coherency in modern CPUs. And there's a great paper if you want to learn more about this, Breaking the Memory Wall in MonoDB. OK, so I want to present MonoDB Lite. As you can tell from the name, I stole much of the name from SQLite. And what it is MonoDB, which is a open source, free and open source. You know, we are all academics. We just built this in our free time, columnar SQL database. Incidentally, today or tomorrow is getting the 2016 SIGMOD System Awards just a couple of miles in San Francisco. So we're very proud of that. And what I did is I took it, and then I did a lot of suffering to make it run inside R. Right? So what is MonoDB Lite? Well, it is an embedded and streamlined MonoDB for R. It has all of MongoDB. It has a columnar storage model, of course. It gives you transactions, complex SQL, all the things. It runs fully inside your R process. So you don't have to set up a database server. You don't have to configure anything. You just do install.packages. And query results are data frames. We like that. And we also built in a fast data append from data frames. So you can use whatever loader you want. You know, you can use Reader, you can use data table, fread. It doesn't really matter to me. You just put anything in a data frame, and then you can append it into your SQL table. And we have a DBI and dplyr backend, which means that we support user-faced interactions with those two interfaces. Something I want to stress is that we have persistence. That means the table is not only in memory, but it's stored on disk in a native columnar format, as I've shown. And this gives you a super fast persistent access. So what it leads to is that you do no longer have to wait at the beginning of a script to load data. So here are just a couple of quick performance analysis that I did. I just take some big CSV files, used an actual statistical analysis from the Home Mortgage Disclosure Act, and then we just run a bunch of queries and also tested how much time it takes to transfer entire tables back and forth into R. So here you see the timings between MongoDB Lite and SQLite on this data set. Oops, sorry for that. As you can see, the columnar architecture and together, yeah, in this case, leads to a greatly improved performance. These are a bunch of queries. You know, it's always easy to find the one query, you get the 100x, but I try to get them as realistic as possible example here. This is more pronounced when we want to take a table that is stored inside a SQL layer and transfer that into R. And I think there's a talk tomorrow on the topic, but if you've ever tried to pull large amounts of data through an ODBC, JDBC, what have you, interface into R, you're going to wait, and this has to do with you know, socket serialization and protocols and what have you. And because we run in process, and because we can pretty natively map from columns to columns, we can do a very quick sort of data transfer into R where you can then do you know, whatever complex algorithm you want to run. But that's not all. We also have a system called the Sisyphus, and it's, of course, inspired by the mythical Greek hero who has to roll the rock up the mountain, which constantly, and I mean constantly, tests a huge bunch of complex analysis scripts that use MongoDB Lite with huge data sets on Windows and Linux machines and sort of sees whether they still work. So every time we change something. And you would not believe, you know, how difficult it is to keep these things running, because you have external servers, you know, we have R changing, we have packages changing, and then sometimes we also introduce bugs, and then this is how we quickly figure out that we're not breaking other people's analysis. So if you have something that could be added there, please let me know. We'll be happy to do that. This is also a big shout out to Anthony again, from who he runs Analyze Survey Data for free, where, you know, he has a bunch of ETL scripts for survey data. It's written completely in R. Okay, so I'm just going to give you a live demo, because I think it's easy to understand what I'm on about here. So let me see. We need a shell. There it is, R. Okay, good. And I need my script. I put the script online. I just tweeted the slides up too, so you can just download the demo script and the dataset I'm using here. Okay. So now I'm going. Just have to figure out how to do this best. Okay, R. No, wrong window. Sorry. There we go. R. And then I hope my Wi-Fi works. So I'm just going to try this. A couple of seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ah, done. Got it. Okay, this is the installation. Now we have MongoDB. Congratulations. And then I'm just going to spin it up. So here, this is just a DB Connect. It's like SQLite. You just give it a directory where you want to store your persistent data. I've shown how this looks like. If 5 minutes, excellent. And now I'm not going to bother with any sort of CSV loading. I'm just going to read a data set from RDS. So if you look at this, this is a fair, this is my example data set that I'm using here. It is not particularly large, but it's just for the demonstration purpose. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that data set and I'm going to append it to the SQL database. So here I'm doing this, and in 1.something seconds, this is now a persistent binary on-disk representation of this data set. I can just go to AMDA. So here you see these are very interesting numbers. These are all the files that have been generated to represent that data set. So now that I've done this, I can do some things like dblist tables, for example. And here's my table, and I can say dblist fields. Oops. Fields. I should have a con. On the demo. There we go. So here's all the fields. And as I said, this is a SQL database where we, you know, try to run whatever query as fast as possible. So you couldn't even see it because it just took 0.7 seconds, but I just run a fairly complex query here, which does an aggregation on this table, orders the result, and so on and so forth. So whatever SQL query you can throw at us, you know, if something doesn't work, tell us, but in general, everything you can do in SQL, you can do in MongoDBLite inside your R shell as well. Something that I also wanted to show is the transfer of the table. So now I'm just going to read the entire table back into the R shell, into the R environment. And since it's the same process, we can do this very fast. And I assure you, any kind of protocol-based system would have broken down at this point. We also have an integration with dplyr. So let me just load dplyr. Just like dplyr has these SQL sort of backends, and there's two that come with it, I think, or three, but we have our own extension for it. So we can just make a source MongoDBLite. So if I just look at this, you can see this is a MongoDBLite database. Indeed, it is in this private temp directory where I put it. And if you're familiar with dplyr, you know, you can just make a table with this, and then if you look at the table, you see this debug output from dplyr, which shows you all the columns and so on and so forth. What's more interesting than that is that now I'm just going to put here the exact same. I'm just going to run it again. So this is now the dplyr version of the SQL query that I did before, and thanks to dplyr, this is, gets translated fully transparent in the background to a SQL query, which is then run, and it becomes a data frame because it's, you know, this is what MongoDBLite does. And as you can see, this is nice and fast as well. Okay, so this is now let's say we're done, and we go home for the day, we shut down the laptop. And oftentimes, next day, you start up again, and then the first thing you do is you start to load your data set, and that will take forever again. But no. So now, as you can see, I've quit my R shells, and I'm going to restart it. And I'm just going to reconnect to this MongoDBLite database that I've created earlier with this HMDA file. So I just connected to it. That doesn't cost anything. And now if I want to have, for example, if I just want to read my table again, there it is again. So I basically, through this binary representation on disk, I get a free startup from arbitrarily sized data sets. So that is the demonstration. Just go back to the slides. Okay, so what I wanted to show with MongoDBLite is it's on CRAN, check it out. It is it's supposed to be a replacement for our SQLite based on a columnar storage architecture. So what you get is you get a fast SQL interpreter, and you get a fast startup from scratch if you want to continue working on large data sets. Here's the GitHub. If you have any issues or if you want to check out the development version. And with that, thank you, and I'm happy to take questions.
We have one question. Please repeat the question.
Yes. Yes, we have support for that. We have a wrapper for DB. The question was, can we do fast loading from CSVs? The answer is yes. We have a wrapper for an extension of dbWriteTable from DBI, where you can give it a file name, and then this will instruct the database code to directly import from the CSV. Yeah.
One more.
I didn't quite understand when you said quit no. R was being completely removed from memory, yeah. But Monet, DBLite was hanging on to it. Where was the database?
Yeah. Okay, so the question was, when I quit the R shell, was MonaDB still in memory? The answer is no. If you quit the R process, the database is shut down. It lives in the R process, it dies with it. The thing is, what we use a lot is memory mapping to get files that, these binary files are direct memory representations of our internal storage format. So when we start up, again, from the second time I started up, I started the database, what it will do, it is will memory map those files, and then they are immediately available to us. We can start scanning them, you know, transferring them, whatever we do. And the cool thing is that the operating system takes care of getting that stuff into memory for us.
So why not just leave R running until tomorrow?
You can do that. but then it crashes. No, I don't know. It's true. But this is something that you could do as well.
Let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you.